Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, text number 23 to begin with. Satat ki chakka valmikat sahai oja balanvita sarvavayava sampano Raja Samhanano Yuva Utistas Tapta Hemabo Vibhava Sur Ivaidhasa Sa Hiranyakashipu Tat That he chaka valmikat from the anthill and bamboo grove saha mental strength oja strength of the senses bala and sufficient bali strength Anvitaha, endowed with Sarva, all Avayava, the limbs of the body, Sampana, fully restored, Radra Samhanana, having a body as strong as a thunderbolt. Yuva, young, Udhita, arisen, Tapta Hema Adva, Abda, whose body luster became like molten gold. Vibhavasu, fire, Eva, like, Edasa, from fuel wood. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as he was sprinkled with water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt, with physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold. He emerged from the anthill, a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport. Hiranyakashipu was revitalized so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with a strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster resembling molten gold. This was a rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance. Text number 24. Seeing Lord Brahma present before him in the sky, carried by his swan airplane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat on his head on the ground, began to express his obligation to the Lord. Purport. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:23-24. Yepyanya devata bhakta idante sharayanvita tepimam eva konteya idantya vidipurvakam ahami sarva jagnanam bhokta cha prabhur eva cha itumam abhijananti tadvenatas chayantite. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. In effect, Krishna says, persons engaged in the worship of demigods are not very intelligent. Although such worship is indirectly offered to me, for example, When a man pours water on the leaves and branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge, without observing regulative principles. The process of watering a tree is to pour water on the root. Similarly, the process of rendering service to the different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribe to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita as Avidhi Purvakam. In other words, Krishna does not approve the unnecessary worship of the demigods. In Bhagavad Gita is clearly stated that there are many types of yajnas, performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yaga means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's clearly stated that one should work only for the satisfying Yajna or Vishnu. The perfectional form of human civilization, known as Varnashram Dharma, is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. However, less intelligent persons, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence, do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion. He will thus achieve the desired result. Although Hiranyakashipu offered his obeisances unto Lord Brahma, he was strongly inimical towards Lord Vishnu. This is a symptom of an asura. Asuras worship the demigods as being separate from the Lord, not knowing that all the demigods are powerful because of being servants of the Lord. If the Supreme Lord were to withdraw the powers of the demigods would no longer be able to offer benedictions to their worshippers. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, or asura, is that the devotee knows that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone derives power from him. Without worshipping the demigods for particular powers, a devotee worships Lord Vishnu, knowing that if he desires a particular power, he can get that power without acting as Lord Vishnu's devotee, while acting as Lord Vishnu's devotee. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is recommended, Akama Sarva Karma Va, Moksha Kama Udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purushamparam. Person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Even if a person has material desires, instead of worshiping the demigods, he should pray to the Supreme Lord so that his connection with the Supreme Lord will be established and will be saved from becoming a demon or a non-devotee. In this regard, Śrīla Madhvacārya gives the following quotation from the Brahma Tarka. Eka sta naika karyatvad Vishnu pradanyatastata jivasya tad abhinatvan na bina di kritam vachaha. Since Vishnu is the Supreme, by worshipping Vishnu one can fulfill all desires. There's no need to divert one's attention to any demigod. Yatatara mulu nishe chinena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka pranaharachcha yatendriyanam tatayva sarvahanam atuteja. This is one of the most basic principles of our philosophy. that if you water the root of the tree, yatatara mula nishechanena, tripyanti tatskana bujo pushaka, then the water goes naturally to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, tendriyanam, then all the different parts of the body are satisfied. Tataiva sarvahanam atuteja. Or if one worships Achyuta, Krishna, then naturally not only the demigods are satisfied, but all living entities are satisfied. Prabhupada gives many examples of this. If the finger wants to enjoy the food, it's very difficult. It may squash the food in many different ways, smear the food over its body, but this does not help in the enjoyment of the food. The service of the fingers is not to smear themselves with the food, it is to supply the food, put it into the mouth, and it goes into the stomach. And when the stomach is satisfied, then all the different parts of the body are also satisfied. Similarly, the mistake is that we think that we're independent of the Supreme Lord and that we can be happy without Him. Although He's the source of all enjoyment, He's the source of all transcendental pleasure, He's the source of everything, including all pleasure. Therefore, lacking Krishna's happiness, experiencing Krishna's happiness, no one could actually become happy. Still, there's an attempt. The senses, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasa vegam, they're demanding so many things. And when we satisfy those demands, then we think that's happiness. When the misery of the demands is taken away, then we think we're actually happy. We're satisfied. Just like no one feels great happiness because their finger is not broken. No one runs down the street saying, my finger is not broken, my finger is not broken. Look at my finger, isn't it? It looks happy. But when your finger is broken, then there's a lot of distress. And finally, when the finger is cured, then you say, oh, I feel so good. Actually, you don't feel good, you just don't feel the pain that you were feeling before. That's called good. So in the absence of misery, of the pushing of the senses and the mind, then the living entity feels peaceful temporarily, and he calls that happiness. Of course, there may be some happiness from sense pleasure, but yehi samsparshita bhoga dukkha yone evate adyantavanta kontiya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the senses, with their objects, O son of Kunti, such pleasures, they have a beginning and they also have an end, and so the wise person, he doesn't delight in such things. In other words, for the temporary happiness, if one has to endure so much misery, then it's not a drop of water in the desert, doesn't make up for the fact that you're in the desert. You may pay pictures, everyone comes and takes pictures of the drop of water, and they praise you for getting the drop of water, and they give you a reward for the drop of water. But because you're in the desert, the drop of water can't be completely satisfying. So Hiranyakashipu, he went through a great austerity in order to get some benediction from a demigod. Because nowadays people don't believe in demigods. They go through austerity to get a piece of paper. They satisfy some superior, a boss, a movie star, a rock star, an athlete. And they go to their work, and they work hard in order to get some piece of paper, which they think is a benediction. Oh, you're so kind, you gave me this job, you benedicted me. Or they go to the bank. The bank has become the modern-day church. And instead of praying for bread in the church, they go to the bank and fold their hands, say, please give me a loan. I'm your dog. I'll work for you the rest of my life. Just throw me a bone. So they get a piece of paper, and they think it has some value. Of course, it's just a piece of paper. It's not even edible paper. In some countries, you can't even burn the paper to keep warm when it becomes useless. And yet people will sacrifice their whole time and energy with the hope that this piece of paper will protect them and make them happy, because they can buy something with it. Of course, in Germany, when they had inflation, people used to, in order to get a loaf of bread, they used to have to fill it up with the money and bring it to the store. They didn't worry about people stealing the money when they went to the store. They worried about people stealing the wheelbarrow. It's just... So Hiranyakashipu will achieve this great benediction. He'll get his very strong body, Mr. Universe. Even the demigods, as Indra, could not pierce his body with their thunderbolt, which is the strongest weapon in the universe. But still, we can see it was a waste of time, because he was in anxiety all the time, and no one can be secure that they're eternal in this material world, even if they get all the benedictions of the demigods, because even the demigods are temporary, and everything in the material world is temporary. As we can see, there's nothing the same. At every moment, everything's changing, and it never comes back to be the same again. And therefore, there's no security in the material world. There's only insecurity. And anyone who's feeling themselves secure in the material world is either crazy, or they're stupid, or a combination of both. Anyone who feels himself to be well protected in the material world is obviously insane, because there's no one in the material world that can actually protect one except for Krishna, and Krishna will only protect one ultimately on the spiritual platform. Only when one comes to the spiritual platform and is protected by illusion, from illusion, is one actually protected. Because there is no protection in the material world. Whatever we have, either today or tomorrow, we have to lose. And whatever we get in the future, we're going to lose also. And only a sane person understands you can't really lose anything that you never had. Since we never really possess anything in the material world, we're only imagining that we're the owners and the controllers. Therefore, we're always in an illusion that we might lose something, but actually we don't lose anything, because you can't lose something you never had. The general analogy is, if you go to the bank and you tell the bank, like I went to the Gorensky Bank yesterday, and I didn't walk in and say, "Oh, all right, you can have it all back, you can have all the money here. I renounce it. It's tomorrow's Nrisimhadeva's appearance day, and I know Hiranyakashipu, he worked hard to get some benediction, and it was all lost. So alright, I had all this money in the bank, and I give it all back to you." No one's gonna be very impressed, because no one believes I had the money in the bank. Similarly, people are claiming that the proprietors of so many things, but actually it's all being directed by Krishna at every moment. All we can do is desire, and Krishna is fulfilling our illusory desires by having the material nature arrange itself in so many different ways in which we actually believe that we're gaining and losing in the material world. But the only thing we can gain is spiritual knowledge, and the only thing we've actually lost is our identity, our real identity. That we've lost, and everything else that we think we've gained is just a mental concoction. It's just an idea, but it's not a reality. Because ultimately Krishna is always the controller, he's always the proprietor, and he doesn't give anything to anyone in the material world except for the idea that they're actually the proprietor or the controller. But Krishna comes in order to give real knowledge, and that's done by aligning our desires with that of Krishna's, and that's called yajna. And anyone who performs yajna, they gradually become free from material illusion. They're called suras, and anyone who doesn't perform yajna, who doesn't align their desires with that of Krishna's, they're called asuras, and asram yonim apanam muda janmani janmani tanaham dvishita kuran samsaresh naradamam shi pramya jasram ashubam asri shveva yonishu. That those who are envious and mischievous and who are the lowest among mankind, I cast into the various demoniac species of life. So they say that man has evolved from apes. They don't realize that most people are about to become apes. If they think man has become evolved from apes, that actually men come back to apes. Asram yona apana muda janmani janmani mama prapyaiva kontiya tato yadantaman gatim yadamam gatim. Obtaining such demoniac species of life, they gradually sink down to the most abominable type of existence. So it sounds like Krishna is not very friendly to people. Anyone who doesn't like him, he doesn't like them. And he just pushes them down and down and down until they become the lowest species of life. You rascal, I'm pushing you down. No, that's too bad. You don't like me, I don't like you. Have anything else to say about me? Trividanara kasyedam dvam nashitam atmanaha kama krota tatalovas tasmat etam trayam chayet. There are three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates, because they lead to the degradation of the self. So it's glorified in the modern world as progress, namely progressing in lust, fulfilling our lusty desires, especially for economic development, for sense gratification. And when our lusty desires are fulfilled and we can get all the paraphernalia we need for our sense gratification, then we become greedy to get more and more, compete with others, cheat others, in order to get their things. Give and take. It's called give and take. You give to me, and I take from you. It's called give and take in the modern world. You give to me, and I take from you. And when we can't fulfill our desires, when we're frustrated, when someone else comes along and takes from us, then we become angry. And we say, it's all unfair. It's a conspiracy. But actually, the conspiracy is all against Krishna, denying Krishna, not following Krishna. We've all gotten together like a group of thieves. They rob a bank. And when they go to the hideout, the head thief stands up and says, my dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, I have only one request to all you wonderful thieves. First of all, let's give the thieves some recognition. Thieves' key. Who said that? My dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, I have only have one request to all of you. Please, please, I beg of you, let us divide this money up honestly. So they're all thieves, but now they're trying to become honest thieves. They're trying to honestly divide up what they've stolen. So that's the material world. Everyone is trying to be an honest thief. And when other thieves come along and steal from the thieves, they're considered to be dishonest thieves. Honor among thieves. So material world means they make the people who make the laws, they're not very honest thieves. They're dishonest thieves. But the only honest thief is to give the money back to the people we stole it from, and the person we've stolen it from, we think we've stolen it from, is Krishna. But because as soon as we have that thought of stealing, then immediately that Maya who's there Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavan Chetare Nikatista. The Maya who's standing next to us, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Krishna slaps us, the Maya slaps us, and puts us into the material concept of life. So anyone who has a body, they must be in anxiety that I'm insecure, what's going to happen to me? But we know what's going to happen to everyone. Everyone's going to die. It's not that the coronavirus might kill everyone, and if we can free ourselves from the threat of the coronavirus, we're going to live forever. No one lives more than they're supposed to live, and that's not very long in Kali Yuga. Even you become Howard Hughes, and you're the richest man in the world, and you put yourself in a room in your house where no germ can enter it because everything is radiated, including his food, before it came into his room. He thought that way no germ can come and kill me. But when he wasn't looking, some germs snuck in and killed him. Never mind, in our body, there are unlimited number of viruses and parasites and germs as part of the body. As a matter of fact, there are more germs and viruses than there are healthy cells in the body. So what are you going to do? Pour bleach down your throat? Kill them all. The operation was successful, but the patient died. So the real enemy is forgetfulness of Krishna. As Prahlad Maharaj tells Lord Narsingadev, that there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. So we're imagining so many enemies we're trying to kill, but ultimately the real enemy is the fact that we're not thinking about Krishna, not engaging our mind in Krishna's service, and therefore we're Bhava Roga, we're suffering the major disease of material existence, repeated birth and death. Therefore we should try and cure that disease, and all the other diseases will be taken care of. All the other problems will be taken care of. Unfortunately, the asuras don't know that. The tevidu swartikatim hi Vishnu. Dirashayaye bahi artamanina. And instead of worshipping Vishnu, they worship the demigods, which are comparatively insignificant. Therefore,
that
anyone who gets free from these three gates to hell performs actions or activities which are conducive to self-realization and gradually attains to the supreme destination. Yakshastra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata nisasidim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. One should know what is duty and what is... That anyone who gives up scripture, shastra, and acts whimsically, according to lust, anger, and greed, attains neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyastito gyatva shastram vidanokta karma karma iharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of shastra. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so he can gradually become purified. Therefore, shastra is actually what we should take shelter of rather than a demigod. Rather than trying to get some temporary benedictions from others, we should take shelter of Krishna, his instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that way gradually become purified and get the ultimate gain, which is gain of transcendental realization or Krishna consciousness. Without that gain, everything else is shrama, eva hi kevalam, just a waste of time. And Hiranyakashipu will demonstrate that for us. In spite of becoming the control of the whole universe, it couldn't help him at the time of death. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
You were mentioning the honest thieves. So if there are any thieves who already stole some money, should they give that money to Krishna? And as devotees in ISKCON, should we accept that money?
Well, that's the historical precedent. When Ramanujacharya was trying to build his temple, people wouldn't want to give a donation, especially the wealthy people. So he got together a group of thieves with mystic power. And one of them was able, I think, to climb walls. The other one was able to pick any lock, etc. And he got them together, and they stole all the money, and they built the temple. Then he took all the thieves out in the middle of the river, out of the middle of a lake, because they couldn't swim, and sank the boat and killed them all.
Jai.
Well, they definitely got some benefit from providing Lakshmi for building a temple. Sri Ranga is at the temple? Yes. So. Oh, one of the Olive. Oh, okay. So he had a good, he had a lot of associates.
One of the Olives? Madhura Kavi? Yeah, okay. And do you have any advice for thieves who want to serve Krishna on how to engage their stealing propensity in Krishna's service?
Try to steal Krishna's heart. Like the thief who heard that if he goes to Vrindavan, there's a boy there, he heard in one lecture, his body is covered with jewels. So he became determined, I'm going to go to Vrindavan, find that boy and steal all his jewels. So he went to Vrindavan, looked everywhere for Krishna in great anxiety. He was such anxiety that Krishna appeared before him. And the thief said, give me your jewels. And Krishna said, no, Mother Jasoda will be angry if I give you these jewels. So there's a big argument, and then the thief fell in love with Krishna. He said, no, you can keep your jewels, it's all right. And Krishna said, no, you can take the jewels now. So there's many instances of thieves. The thief that Lord Nityananda covered himself with jewels and gold, silk, and he was doing Harinam. And one head thief saw that, and he decided, this is where we're going to go, and we're going to go to his house and steal everything he has. So there's a whole story, I won't tell the whole story, of how him and his dacoits, they, at night, before they wanted to plunder Lord Nityananda, they worshiped Goddess Durga, they offered meat and wine and sacrifice, they dressed themselves, and then they went to steal. But when they went to steal, then they found themselves first in a position where they saw that surrounding the cottage of Lord Nityananda was very strong, powerful guards, and any one of them, each one of them could have easily defeated all the band of thieves. So they decided, let's come back in a better night. So again, they did the same ritual in another time, and when they went to steal from Lord Nityananda and his associates, then suddenly they all became blinded. And when they became blinded, they fell into a pit full of scorpions. Others fell into places which were thorny bushes, and they were screaming in agony. Indra came and sent torrents of rain and ice, and they were freezing and suffering like anything. Then the head thief realized that actually this Avaduta Nityananda, he must be God, and therefore he had committed a great offense. So he came into the house of Lord Nityananda paying obeisances, and Lord Nityananda came. Eventually he gave him all his mercy, and he became a pure devotee and went out to preach amongst all the other thieves to worship Lord Nityananda also. So if you're a thief, then get Lord Nityananda's mercy, and then you can preach to all the other thieves and bring them to Lord Nityananda also. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
And this verse mentions saha, oja, and bala. Sometimes you also have prana thrown in. These seem to be explained in Ayurveda as different types of energy. And sometimes it's not quite clear why we have so many different types of energy described. Do you have some explanation about these saha, oja, and bala? I heard that oja is the immunity of a person.
Well, there's always three energies. Krishna is impersonal. Everything is derived from bliss, knowledge, and eternity. So either they're directly or indirectly coming from those energies, everything. So for eternity, from bliss, we get ojas. From pleasure, ojas is the source of that. From the energy of knowledge, we have pitta, or here agni, or whatever, tejas. And from the energy of eternity, we get the energy of vata, which is the energy of activity, or vata is vayu, existence. So those three energies are the source of all the other energies, either directly or indirectly.
It's very interesting, thank you. So then for depression, one would need to improve one's ojas condition.
Yes, meditate. Ojas is achieved by two ways. One is by digestion of food, and the other is by meditating on Vishnu, Krishna. Spiritual thoughts will produce ojas, and eating prasadam with love and devotion and digesting it will also produce ojas.
And exercise will influence which of those?
Exercise will help you digest food.
Uh-huh.
Because food is that which you can digest, according to Ayurveda. Medicine is that which helps you digest, and poison is that which you can digest. So, exercise helps you digestion. Yes?
Also, in this purport, we had some... at the end, it said that by worshipping Vishnu, one can fulfill all one's desires. There's no need to divert one's attention to any demigod. But also, in the Nectar of Devotion, it says we should... offer respect to Ganapati, Ganesh, to remove obstacles. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, don't worship me until you offered respect to Durga and Brahma.
Well, Bharat Maharaj, for instance, he worshiped the demigods, but he worshiped them in relationship to Krishna. So his worship was valid. The gopis worship goddess Katyayani in order to get Krishna as a husband. Being as devotees, and we worship them as devotees, and that worship is bona fide if it's in order to please Krishna. Yes.
And then it says... there's no breakfast anyway. That by worshipping Vishnu, one can fulfill all one's desires. And throughout this purport, Prabhupada was speaking that it's not intelligent to turn to anybody else for any other desires. But as devotees, what are devotees supposed to do with their desires? Should they suppress them, circumvent them, or offer to Krishna, pray to Krishna?
Desires? Well, we have desires. Therefore, Krishna supplies prasadam to us when it's not a fast day. We have a desire to go to sleep, and generally Krishna gives us some place where we can rest our body. So these desires are bona fide desires, and Krishna fulfills them. Otherwise, and for the devotees, they have to work usually less than others to fulfill those desires. As far as desire is to become Hiranyakashipu, Krishna generally doesn't fulfill that desire. Therefore, as a matter of fact, he tries to take those desires away. But bona fide desires, Krishna helps fulfill if they're bona fide. Any other question? Yes.
Before we were speaking about thieves' effort, one lecture from Srila Prabhupada, where he is saying that some people question the ways in which my disciple, I think Guru Kripa, Prabhu does, brings in money, but he then very fiercely stood up for him, and he said that he has his full support, whatever he does, because anywhere, anybody, everybody is a thief here, so he was like not worrying too much about how Guru Kripa gets his money. He was, that was,
well,
in the lecture.
I'd have to see the lecture.
I mean,
I don't remember it, probably exactly saying that.
I think it's this. Anyway, in the 68th lecture, Tokyo or something.
Okay, but I don't know. Probably just praising him for being a thief.
No. He was like standing up for him.
Yeah, of course he was standing up for him. What was he going to do?
I mean, but he was bringing up the topic himself during the lecture, so he was obviously kind of satisfied with the devotee.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure Prabhupada would appreciate his effort, but exactly what context it was in, I don't know. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.